absolute a voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
Speak through us tonight and lead us to pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Alright, so the spirit of Caleb. On Sunday, we explained that the conduct of every man is as a result of the spirit at work in him. And the spirit of every man is what determines the lifestyle and the behavior of the man. If you have a bad spirit of hot temper, your behavior will reflect that. If you have the spirit of immorality and lust, no matter how well you want things to be, no matter how well you want things to be for you, or no matter how decent you wish you would live, you will be unable to live decently because the issue is a spiritual issue. I told you on Sunday that if you are battling with a spirit of poverty, hard work is not your remedy. Are you hearing me? If you are battling with a spirit of poverty, hard work is not the remedy. It won't help you. Even though I've taught you hard work, but this way it will not help you, because what you are dealing with is a spiritual issue. It's not hard work issue. It's not lazy. It's a spiritual issue, and you have to deal with it spiritually in prayer and deliverance. Amen. And so we explain that a good man out of the good treasures of the heart, brings forth good things. And a bad man out of the bad treasures of the heart brings forth bad things. So as you are on the inside, so will you be on the outside. Hallelujah. I will say your attitude, all things being equal, your attitude determines your attitude. And we also said that Your aptitude minus attitude makes destitute. You understand? Aptitude, skill minus attitude, that is character, will leave you a destitute person, somebody who is stranded and frustrated, because you have skill but you don't have character. So you will fail at whatever you are trying to do. If God calls you as a man of God and you don't have character, be ready. Be ready, because the ministry will not stand. So aptitude minus attitude makes destitute. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is why I also said that charisma minus character leads to catastrophe. You understand? I use that one to explain the first one that I said, because maybe you don't understand aptitude. Charisma, your ability minus your character will make catastrophe, will make you a catastrophic person. You think? I hear what I'm saying. So we set out to establish how attitudes are determined by spirits. I said all that to make you understand that only people are only super. If you So, when the Bible says that I like the spirit of Joseph, it's not talking about the character of Joseph. See, that's why a man of God, I'm talking about the generation of Esau. The spirit of Esau is coming on you, or receive the spirit of Joseph. Then say, what is he talking about? Joseph is dead and gone. We are not talking about the character, the attitude, the attributes of the person. Are you getting it? Yeah. So when we talk about the spirit of Caleb, we are actually speaking about the attitude of Caleb. We are talking about the behavior, the character of Caleb. Amen. Numbers. Chapter 14, 24. So I'm building up from yesterday, from Sunday, okay? I'm building up from Sunday. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. We are looking at what the spirit of Caleb is. What is the spirit of Caleb? If we say Caleb had a certain spirit or a certain attitude that made him successful, he was just one of the two people that made it to Canaan. Can you imagine God calls over 1 million people and led them from Egypt and promise all of them that I'm taking you to Canaan? All of them, the promise came to all of them. But scripture says it didn't profit all, or some of them didn't mix it with faith. But the word came. So over 1 million people, Jews or Israelites by then, were all promised by God that you are leaving this land of slavery to another land called Canaan that flowed with milk and honey. And yet, only two of them arrived. And the surprising thing is that the one who didn't declare the prophecy didn't get it. So my pastors, we have to be careful. The fact that we are preaching about heaven does not mean we are there. Amen. To whom more is given, more is given. The Bible says that even, it says that don't be hasty to be a teacher, for you shall receive a stricter judgment. That means that don't hurry up to be, say, hey, me, I want to be a pastor, because your judgment is stricter than a member. Amen. And for me, the senior amongst you, I have a stricter judgment. Amen. You see, God can look at somebody and say, you have sinned against me. And what the person did, he said, normal thing everybody is doing. God said, you have not sinned against me. But God looks at the person and says, you have sinned against me. I get what I'm saying. I'm saying that depending on the level you are, God can cause certain things you do sin. And others will be doing it, and God overlooks it. Nice, there's nothing wrong. Depending on the level you are. I get what I'm saying. Somebody just struck a rock with stick. God said, you good killer. Just like that. You are disqualified. Obey me now, Moses. Just because we see the piano extra rock no, and how the piano can rock to the piano can. We see Pastor Makasefaka. How what sort of thing is that? You see people in China with their car. I was saying can resource no more. Because say me the China with the campo there, like it has to produce more resource, isn't it? More miracle. God says that at the level where you are, you know that when you are at the top, you are more careful than when you are down. When you are at the top, you have to be more careful. When somebody is walking at the top, you walk like that. When you are walking at a very high level, you are supposed to be more careful than when you are at a lower level. So there are things that somebody will do. Somebody may just look at kids and God will say, you have sinned. Somebody too is looking at more than a kiss, and God didn't even mind. Yes. Because of the level. But there are some, it took me time to understand that thing, because sometimes I don't understand when there's something normal everybody's doing, which I did something, God will come to me and say that you have sinned. I'm like, but this one is normal. Even this pastor has been saying some or doing some reasons, but there's no problem. And God says that you have sinned. Recently, God came to me and showed me some people. God told me, I'm going to apologize to the people. I said, what about that? God has come, I said, what have I done? And these people don't even know that God has said, has come and apologized to them. Yes, we've not fought. There's no problem between us. But God just appeared to me and said that I shall apologize to these people. In a dream. And I've not offended them. In fact, if I tell them that God appeared to me for me today, they will say, for what? They will say, for what? But as I was actually speaking to God, I realized that the kind of things that God charges me on are higher things than normal fighting. No. Perhaps he asked me to pray for them, I did not. And maybe now they are struggling. Maybe perhaps he asked me to do something. So I'm still asking God, because I saw that thing this week. That I have gone, I'm just apologizing to these people. That God appeared to me in an old man. Like an old man told me that apologize to me. You know that people is out to apologize to. Did I tell you? My pastors. Is it that they are surprised? And I'm like, have I wrong? Which area have I wrong? Which area? You know, I've been thinking about this. The whole year yesterday, that was driving. What is the meaning of I should apologize to my pastor? What have I done to them? But it is the same instruction to Moses. See, the thing that God judges us on. Perhaps he asked me to pray for you, I did not. Yes. So I'm still asking God, the Holy Spirit will give me reasons why. But the last time I checked, we don't have a problem. In fact, Sunday we were here, we chat till what time? We left here 9:30. We really click. So when God says, and it's not only one, I saw all of them. And the old man told me that, well, I apologize to your pastors. So I don't know what I've done to them, so I'm still asking. But if I don't even get results, I'll call them for a meeting. Because I have a meeting with them on Saturday, so I planned that on Saturday where I meet. But I'm just looking at what will I say? So at least if God tells me what I've done to them, perhaps God gave me an instruction to do for them that I've even forgotten. Because I'm a man. Tell the one by you, be careful at the instructions of God. Yeah. So God told, sit down, my I apologize in advance. I meet you on Sunday, on Saturday. Yes, I like to obey God. Amen. So God called over 1 million people, and then only two of them entered into it. Is it not strange? Did that mean that God had lied? No. But God told them, all of you will go. In fact, the one he sent to go and tell them also did not go. His assistant pastor also did not go. His senior chorister, music director, Miriam, also did not go. Jesse, all the people did not go except two. They were Joshua and Caleb. So there is something about these people you have to study. Because if God can promise, God says, I'm not a man to lie. And yet, God said, you will go to Canaan. And now they didn't go to Canaan. That means God had lied. So then God had to now explain. He now said, for Joshua and Caleb, they have that A, B, C, D. That is why I'll make them have the land. God had to now explain. So there are times that God can promise, I'll use you for A, B, C, D, but he will not do it. Because you are not following the instruction. May God have mercy. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Amen. So what at all is that? Have you opened the scripture? Now start from verse 6 and then we'll jump. Read verse 6 and then and 7 and then we'll jump to 24. And we'll see the key spirit that Caleb had. Now this is the reason why these two people went, okay? Now read it, one go. Are we all reading together? One go. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, verse 7, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Don't think about what these negative people are saying. The land is good. What God promised us is possible. Let's believe what Moses is saying. Let's believe what Moses is prophesying about. Let's believe that Canaan belongs to us. All the 12 spies, 10 of them came back and they said, no. The land will consume us. It's made up of giants. We cannot take the land. The walls are huge. They discouraged the people, but Joshua and Caleb, they defended Moses. And they defended God. And they stood by the word of God. They tore their clothes. And they stood with God. Instead of going against the word of God. So in verse 24, God says something. He said, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. All the others were going to be destroyed, but Joshua and Caleb were going to enter. And he was describing why he said, because Caleb had a different spirit. And I've told you that spirit represents attitude. So Caleb had a different attitude. So what is the attitude that made him inherit the promise? That is the same attitude that will make you inherit your own promise. Is there somebody here who is believing God for something? Is there somebody here who feels like God has promised you? Even if you don't know, scriptures gives us a lot of the promises of God. So everybody here have been promised by God. That is why you are even sitting here. You are believing God for a good future. You are believing God for a beautiful end. You are believing God for hope. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. They are not plans of bad or evil, but plans of good to bring you to an expected and to give you a hope and a future. Other persons will say. So every one of us here, we are here because we are what? Expecting. We are like pregnant mothers. We call them expecting mothers. We are expecting a certain future. They were also expecting Canaan. But those who got it had a different spirit. May you have that same spirit. So what is the spirit of Caleb? Number one, the spirit of faithfulness. 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 Have you written it? Have you written it? Good. Now, what does it mean to be faithful? To be faithful means to be constant. When we say somebody is faithful, it means that the person is constant. The person doesn't change. The guy said, "Obi a faithful at chest any panel on sun per time." Say, "In so to our sun, a year for our sun." And I say, "When there is something on you, the person behaves in a certain way. When there is nothing, the person changes." No, a faithful person is someone who is constant. Someone who is constant. Somebody who is stable. Somebody who is unchanging. Somebody who is reliable. Faithfulness is a right spirit that can cause us to inherit our promises. Can I hear an amen? We are in the month of faithfulness, so understand what I'm saying. There is nobody who inherits the promised future that God has given him unless he has the spirit of faithfulness. Okay, anyone of my share the book about that if I pay me, ah, everything you have been said, oh, deep, no credit. No. You will truncate, you will destroy what God wants to do in your own life minus faithfulness. Amen. Oh, amen. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, chapter 13, verse 30, Bible says that then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." When the people were all saying that, hey, the land is too difficult for us to possess, so it is not possible. There are giants there. The walls are too high. As I described to you on Sunday, the Bible says that Caleb silenced the people and was supported by Moses. They tore their clothes. But I like the way the Bible puts it. The Bible says, and Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Why did he say before Moses? Because Moses was the one they were attacking. Moses was the one God has spoken through. And now they are attacking Moses because, Charlie, you are leading us to our death trap. So Moses became vulnerable. Moses needed help. Moses needed defense. And so Caleb stood before Moses and quieted the people. It's like the whole crowd, Moses is facing them. And then Caleb came out of the crowd and stood in front and started silencing the people. Please, quiet, quiet, quiet. Because the old man was surprised at the report. And everybody was complaining. So Caleb left where he was standing and took over uninvited to calm the situation so that Moses could lead the people where God has promised them. Clap for Caleb. And that is why the Bible says that he quieted the people before Moses. And then God said that, he said, let us go up and take possession. That is why when you come to chapter 14, the verse number 14, 24, the Bible says that, and for Caleb, he had a different spirit and had followed me fully. Somebody who came to stand in front of Moses to quiet the people. God describes that as following me fully. That means following me faithfully. So what Caleb did on that day, God saw it as what? Faithfulness. Supporting the leader is faithfulness. Tell somebody, supporting the leader is faithfulness. Standing with the word of God is faithfulness. Tell another person. Oh yes, we all saw the giants. We all saw the walls. In fact, we climbed the wall and we spent the night in the house on the wall. So it was not a small wall. We all saw the wall. We all saw how difficult it would be. But Caleb decided to stand with the word of God that says that I'm taking you to that land. That land that flows with milk and honey belongs to you. The land that he has given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And that is what faithfulness to God and faithfulness to man. God has great plans for us. God has great intentions, future for every one of us. But if we will be distinguished from the crowd and be able to possess our possession, like Joshua and Caleb, then we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to God first and foremost by standing with the word of God, by standing with the ministry of God that we belong to, standing with the church, standing with God, standing with the things of God. That's faithfulness. That is where you are. You are in the church. And then everybody is fighting against the church. And you decide to take a stand for the church of God. Not because what they are saying you have not seen. Or not because what they are fighting or whatever. But it is because you want to save the church of God. We call it faithfulness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When everybody in the choir or in the ushering unit is rebelling against the leader, everybody's complaining against the leader, and people have stopped attending rehearsals and attending meetings and attending services, and you decide to save the day, God calls it faithfulness. He has followed me fully. Constantly, no change. Can God rely on you that you will be faithful to the church He has positioned you in? Can God rely on you that you will be faithful in the ministry He has planted you in? Or will you also behave like everybody's behaving? Everybody's not going for rehearsals, you're also not going. Everyone is stopping the church, you're also stopping. Everyone is quitting the ushering unit, you're also quitting. Everyone is rebelling against God's work, you're also rebelling against it. Can God, will you be a Caleb? Can God look up to you? Help me ask the one by you, can God trust you? God said, you see, and it amazed me that when the whole thing was going on, God was standing aside and was watching. Wow. So he came after a chapter. And then he said, I saw what Joshua and Caleb did. And because of that, all these people, I'll kill all of them. But I will spare Caleb because he has a different spirit. So tell the one by you, whatever is happening in your church and in your group, God is watching. Because was Caleb aware that God was watching? No. If all the 12 spies knew that God was watching, don't you think that their confession would have been different? Their position would have been different. If they all knew that they were writing a spiritual exam, that whether they will enter into Canaan or not was dependent on what they were doing on that day, I am very, very sure that almost all of them will say that we are well able. But because they didn't know that God was watching, they conducted themselves wrongly. But God was watching. Let me announce to you, every minute detail that happens in your ministry and in your church where you belong, God is watching. God is interested in it. God is watching. He's interested in it. Whether you be faithful or not. Whether you will be faithful or not. Whether you will stand with the church or not. Lift up your hand and say, help me, Lord. You see, don't say you are faithful when everything is all right. When everything is all right, and so you are also enjoying the atmosphere, is that faithfulness? No. When God gave them His word that He was taking them to Canaan, to a land that flowed with milk and honey, they were all happy. In fact, they told their Egyptian friends and slave masters, we are going to a better place. They bragged about it. They stood with God. They believed God. Especially when they met the Red Sea and it opened. They said, wow! We've never seen this before. Our God is a champion. Their faith came alive. But when they got to Jericho and they spied the land and they saw the giants and they saw how huge. I described to you that the wall of Jericho is like the stretch of this building. It's huge. That's the war, because horses were using it for race. They made tracks. So it was huge. Where horses are running, how many tracks do they need? Well, like about when I watched the Olympics, they had about, when the people were running, they had about 8 tracks. So let's assume that a complete track for race is 8. So the horses may be using 8 tracks. If you are making each track for each horse, the thickness of 8 tracks, it will be from here to where? Somewhere 8, somewhere here. 1, 2, 3, 4, because there must be space for the horses. Aside that, the horses will not run when the people are down there. Some people must be there to cheer the horses up. True or not true? When you want to understand the Bible, read it graphically. So there was still some space enough for people to stand there and be dressing the horses and be helping those who are riding the horses, and some cheering their favorite horse up. And there's betting over the horses. That's what they do at race course. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? So the hugeness of that war, that is why it was able to house Rahab's business. Amen. So it was not something small. So when they came against the realities on the ground, they chose to what? To rebel against the word of God. When God called you to be a pastor, did you believe it? Do you believe you are called to be a pastor? When you were commissioned here, did you believe that God had called you? So when you meet another reality on the ground, will you rebel against the God that called you, or you will stand with the God that called you and be faithful till you die? I don't need an answer. It's a rhetorical question. I'm just preaching. I'm being practical. You were called by God, or you called yourself. So if the reality on the ground doesn't support that talent, you are anointed, you are called by God, the ministry is harder than you thought. God promised I'll give you a big ministry and blah 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 blah. Will you stand with the vision? Will you stand with the calling, the word of God that came to you 6 years or 7 years ago? Or you will rebel against the voice and look for something to do? That's the message of faithfulness. Tell somebody, God is watching. God is watching. God is watching. I believe God is watching me every step. Today you were sharing a vision you saw about the hugeness of the church at Men's Grove. And I told him, I believe that this church, just a matter of time, will explode. God is just testing us. Testing us. Most of the messages I preach to you, it is to me. God is just testing us. When we are done with our test, souls will come without an occasion. I'm telling you. It's today that we have to force them to come. By the time it's going to come that one message, people are coming. One prayer, miracles, people are coming. You will not struggle. We call it what? Breakthrough. When we enter to that dimension, that's when you'll be proud of the church. But as for now, we are being tested. We are in class. So we have to force them in. We have to follow them. Do everything. And I keep seeing it, especially at Men's School. That I was telling him that I know God has gone ahead. God has gone to Men's School. God is not here. He's waiting for us. That's why I want to leave here as soon as I can. Because I believe that God, the explosion of the church, even though it is scary. See, I am not saying that because it is scary. When I think about Men's Grove, I become afraid. Do you know why I become afraid? I become afraid because here that the church is just by your door. Here that the church, Umfaka, will struggle with you to come to church. Here that When I'm preaching, some of you come in at 10. So what time will you leave here and get to that place? Then that place will get there at 12. Because over here you come to church at 10. 1 hour after I've started service from your house, what? Hear that we are at least away from traffic zone, too much traffic. If we are at least you get here, it's better than you are going towards Kaswa. Evening service like this, how many of you will come? You can't even call rehearsals as soon as I'm over there. You don't even want to go. When we ask you, we are doing something there in the evening. You don't want to because you beat traffic like 45 minutes, like 1 hour. So when I think about men's school, I'm going there in the evening, I see the traffic, I become scared. Like, God. It is like me seeing the giants. Some of you walk there from your house, we beg you to come to church. When we say we should go to men's school, we have to pass you. What time will you get into the bus for the bus to go? It means I have to pay. So I was telling somebody that I think that when we go to men's school, the church will spend so much money. I wonder whether we can get offering to do anything. Because we have to pass everybody. Because most of the people here like freebies. Once you tell them come to church somewhere, they want you to pay their transportation. True or not true? 31st, we paid for a lot of people. So, I am not saying that God awaits us in men's school because of physical things. I am saying that because of what God has spoken. Physically, on reality, on the ground, the place is like a dead community. That's how the place is. Very quiet. If you move through that area around 8, it will be as though you are walking on a door called 12. Very quiet. Less populated. It is so no ukokus uko win anyway. So Ben Aukosia Ako win. The last of the college was telling me, he went to a whole area, he met about 3 people. 3. A whole big place. You need to trip on this year. Over here, you drop down, you will see thousands of people. So when I think about these things, it's like the 12 seeing the giants, the opposition, the difficulties. In your mind, a bit of my heart, sorry, no. I can imagine all. But I choose to be faithful to the one who called me. I choose to be faithful to the voice that spoke to me. I choose to be faithful to the vision that I saw. That I was standing on the men's homeland when we had no money to buy it. And I was measuring it. And it was 3 floors. And I told him that this is the land. I told him in the vision that this is the land. That God will not lie. That God that has kept revealing himself to me, seeing how big the men's home church has become, that God will not lie. But when I look at the traffic, then my heart skips. When I look at the distance and the people I have, then my heart skips. When I look at the financial burden that will fall on us and the lateness and the discouragement, how some people, they'll be late for 1 week and they will not be coming anymore because I've been much at Akpa. How I may do evening service alone with 3 people or 4 people, it scares me. But this is a place in a community. That's why I'm scared. So I look at those things, scare me. But I choose to be faithful. You see, I'm teaching you the spirit of Caleb. Ask somebody, what has God spoken to you about? What? And then I am meaning what Casafound. Hold on to the word of God. That's the spirit of faithfulness. Hold on to the word. I was telling the pastors that the reason why I've not closed down this church to pick my certificate and go and make money is because no matter how low the church will go or the courses that we will have, I'll continue to be here because I didn't recruit myself. So I cannot recruit myself. If there is any word like that. I didn't recruit myself. I didn't call myself to be a pastor. It was God that made me. So until God tells me that I'm done with you, praise, I die here. I die doing it. Only few people can talk like that. So listen to me. If there is any promise that God has given you, it doesn't mean that it will not come against opposition. It will come against opposition. It will come against challenges. It will come against difficulties. Unexpected things will happen to you. But you must hold on to the word of God. We call it what? Faithfulness. Faithful. You are full of faith. That's what we call faithfulness. Clap your two hands for me. Your church will do well. Are you hearing me? Your church will do well. Are you hearing me? Your ministry will do well. Your life will do well. Your business will do well. Your marriage will do well. That thing will happen. You just have to be faithful. You need the spirit of Caleb. That I will not give up. I will not give up. I will not give up. You need that spirit. Otherwise, the devil will chase you out of your promised land. And God said, because you people are fearful people, you are unfaithful. You couldn't stand with me. Because of that, I will not let you go there. I will let Caleb go. Because he has a different spirit. And followed me fully. That's faithfulness. So you have to be faithful to God. You have to be faithful to man. Everybody say man. The spirit of faithfulness doesn't end with just being faithful to God, but being faithful to man. Man involves your boss. Man involves somebody that you are serving. Man involves your pastor. Who is leading you? I'm your spiritual leader just by the grace of God. But as long as God thought it wise to bring you to me, you must be faithful to me, especially in time of crisis when others are rising up against me. The Bible says that, and Caleb quieted the people before Moses so that Moses would be quiet. In time of crisis, in critical time, in my absence, when I am not there, when your pastor is not there, I may not be your branch pastor, I may not be there. If your pastor is not there, and certain members are speaking evil, speaking ill, planning evil against the church, will you stand for your pastor? Will you speak for your pastor? It's called Caleb quieted the people before Moses. May you quiet certain people who speak against your pastor. May you quiet certain people who speak against your church. It's called the spirit of faithfulness. You will never be blessed in a church that you speak against. It's a free advice. You should have rather relocated. You will never be blessed at a plate, the hand that is feeding you, and you are biting it. You cannot. So once you see that I cannot receive from these hands again, make sure that you peacefully, I tell you what, peacefully go elsewhere and be blessed. Don't sit there and be castigating and chewing that same hand that is feeding you. It turns things against you. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? It was faithful to Moses. Faithful. Sit down. The spirit of Caleb is the spirit of faithfulness. And faithfulness not just to God and not just to Moses, but that same spirit of faithfulness, it cut across. It can make you faithful in your finances if you are faithful. The areas your faithfulness is revealed, that's what I'm mentioning. To God, to man, to your own time. Faithfulness to your time, to your dreams, to your vision, to your plans. I think earlier on this year, I've taught you quite a lot about faithfulness. Yeah, so I don't want to go very deep. You have your own plans for the year. Are you being faithful to it? You have your timetable for the day. Are you being faithful to it? Or anybody at all disrupt you? You have plans. You have dreams. Are you working towards your dreams? That's faithfulness. That's the spirit of Caleb. That's what will make you inherit the promise. Either you'll be dreaming. You'll be dreaming. You'll be dreaming, counting money. And yet, there's nothing to show. You'll be dreaming of a big church. And yet, there'll be nothing to show. The reason is because you are not being faithful to the things you must do to get there. What must we do? We must live holy. We must pray. We must fast. We must trust God that He is the builder. We must keep doing these things until one day, boom, it will start working. I always tell pastors and people who complain about church not growing and church struggling, I said, just do self-assessment. If you realize that you are doing what you're supposed to do, then you're on the right track. Keep doing it. Keep doing it, because one day there will be an explosion. But if you check and you are not doing something right, change the strategy and do what is right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So be faithful. Tell somebody, be faithful to your plans. It's a spirit of courage. Be faithful to your finances. How will you be faithful to finances? By paying your tithes. By paying your tithes. By saving. By investment. This is how to be faithful. Salary 500. You have to be faithful to it by giving God your tithe. You spend the tithe you have stolen from God. That's unfaithfulness financially. God can't trust you with more money. Tell the one by you, if you are still spending your tithe, you are grossly unfaithful. You are greatly unfaithful. If you are still spending, if as of now, you still don't pay tithe, you are really unfaithful to God financially. Now listen. Don't ever think that from Tehoda. I hear what I'm saying. Don't ever think so. Yeah, I've seen people who are doing well without paying tithe. And when I talk about tithe, they normally say that, I've not been paying tithe. I've been giving the money to ABCD to help them. I'm doing well. Today, they are struggling. The same people, same business. Nothing has changed. Nothing is well. The reason is because, you see, when it was coming, they were supposed to be faithful and they were taking it for granted. And they were not paying. You are not being faithful and I won't present more. No. Jesus said that whoever is faithful to the least will have more. Amen. That is the spirit of Caleb. That is the spirit of Caleb. Be a tighter. Tell the one by you, be a tighter. And not just tithing. Faithfulness in finances includes savings. Tell somebody, savings. There should be an amount you always save. There should be. No matter how small it is. Because emergencies can happen. You understand what I'm saying? You can wake up one day and say, wait, sick. And where will you get money from? That saves you from borrowing. You get it? That money is not money we use to cook. Tell somebody, you should have an amount you always save. No matter how small it is. That was the principle that saved Egypt in the days of Joseph. He said, the 7 years of harvest, let us save 20%. Everybody say 20%. So if you want to go by the principle of Joseph, for every money that comes into your hands, 20% must be savings. 10% tithe. That means 30% is investment. Spiritual investment, physical one. You understand what I'm saying, right? You are calculating as Ghana is saying 300 Ghana per. 300 Ghana per. I said, no matter how small, it's a principle. When you start, you see that your income will start growing. When you start. Yes, 10%, you put it down for tight. Then 20% for savings. Then now you live on the 70. Out of the 70%, you take your offering, you take your chop-chop, your transportation, every other thing from 70. If you can do that, it will not be long. You will have capital for investment. It will not be long. How do I do investment? Maybe see Kesha. If you start saving 20% every month, you will get money you invest. Then gradually you are becoming a rich person. I'm not teaching you because I think you will do it. I'm teaching you because I have to teach. But a lot of you, I know you will not do it. African man. Be faithful sexually. God is preparing greatness for you. The spirit of Caleb is what? Faithfulness. Be faithful sexually. Control yourself. Keep your body. Be faithful. Like Joseph, did not touch another man's wife. Did not touch what did not belong to him. Be faithful with your dreams. Be faithful with your time usage. Be faithful with your life. Genesis 39, verse 9 to 10. Then Luke chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 11. Being faithful with little things and being faithful to human beings. And then Proverbs 24, verse 30 to 34. Clap your two hands to him. Clap your two hands for the Lord.
There is power in your name.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.